KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have clear to partly cloudy skies, and we look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high around 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Atlantic School District's Board of Education Wednesday night approved several matters on their agenda, including a 2019-2020 contract for Superintendent Steve Barber. After previous discussions between the board and Mr. Barber, it was decided there will be no change of language in his contract and a 2% salary increase. Board member Dr. Keith Swanson indicated that was not sufficient.
I think we're being chintzy, okay? I sat with this board and we approved a $5,000 raise to a person who had resigned. And this doesn't come out near that, okay? So I think we're being chintzy, and I think we have an excellent superintendent, and if we don't pay him adequately, we aren't going to keep an adequate superintendent, okay?
Barber has taken up many extra duties, including mowing for the district on the weekends. When it came time for the vote, Swanson paused, but then voted yes along with the rest of the board. The board also voted to approve a 2019-2020 sharing agreement with the CAM School District with regard to the services of Atlantic's business manager, Sarah Sheeter. It'll be the second year for the agreement, the costs of which are split 70-30 between the districts. In his report to the board, Superintendent Barber said the district has received a Volkswagen settlement grant to replace two of the diesel buses with propane buses.
$28,150, and we can do two of those. Last year, we received $20,000 for the last propane bus we purchased. If we convert those two from diesel to propane, that'll bring us up to 9 buses using propane.
Do we have the money for it?
We're not doing it today, Doc, but yes, we do.
Okay.
He also reminded citizens of the Washington parking lot and lane parking areas are closed until further notice due to construction.
So people are encouraged to use the middle school Schuler parking lot and the surrounding streets, and I don't know if some people park maybe at the YMCA a little bit too, I guess.
The Atlantic School Board heard from Cass County Emergency Management Director Mike Cannon Wednesday. He spoke with regard to working on an emergency operations plan. Cannon said he's worked closely with Superintendent Barber to update computer-aided dispatch information, and there's been a lot of things happening behind the scenes that are not widely known.
You know, the expectations of people when they talk about the school, you know, they expect the school to be Fort Knox for bad people. You know, they can't get in. But the reality is, and the expectations and the reality is really much different. The school is exposed to many threats, hazards, and vulnerabilities. All of these have potential for disrupting the school community, causing casualties, damaging or destroying public or private property. The purpose of the Atlantic Community School District Emergency Operations Plan is to outline the responsibilities and duties of school employees, students, and parents, guardians in an emergency.
Cannon said the development of the plan has been done in collaboration with many community response partners to ensure coordinated stakeholder participation is the best utilization of available resources.
This planning effort, along with training and exercise, empowers everyone involved in an emergency to act quickly and knowledgeably. The plan educates staff, faculty, students, parents, and other stakeholders on their roles and responsibilities before, during, and after an incident. This plan assures all concerned citizens that Atlantic Community School District has established guidelines and procedures to respond to threats and hazards in an effective way.
The plan is similar to the one in use by Cass County, but on a smaller scale. It's still an all-hazards approach covering a full spectrum of emergencies and disasters, not just an active shooter scenario. The Iowa Department of Transportation reports mobility between Omaha and Council Bluffs should be easier now that when Interstate 29 and between the I-680 near Crescent and North 25th Street in Council Bluffs and I-680 from I-29 to the Nebraska border has reopened to traffic. The roads officially reopened at around 3 p.m. on Wednesday. All lanes of I-29 are open, but traffic will not be allowed to continue north of I-680 on I-29. And for I-680, both westbound lanes are open and one eastbound lane is available for traffic. Those areas had been closed since late May due to flooding in the area for the second time this spring. Part of the repairs from earlier flooding, including added stabilization elements to the ditches on I-680 to minimize future flood damage. Those elements have proven their worth in that there is minimal damage from the second round of flooding to the roadway in shoulder and slope areas where the repairs were completed. other segments of I-29, as well as U.S. Highway 34, Iowa 2, Iowa 275, and Iowa 333 remain closed. Travelers should check 511IA.org, the 511 mobile apps, or call 511 within Iowa for up-to-date closure information on state-owned roadways across the state. In the funeral announcements, Raymond Christensen, age 85, of Grimes and formerly of Manning, died Sunday. Funeral services for Raymond Christensen will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Michael Laverty, age 71, of rural Lewis, died Saturday. Funeral services for Mike Laverty will be today at 11 o'clock at St. John's United Church of Christ, south of Lyman. Reacon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Evelyn Rader, age 86, of Fontenelle, died April 24th. A celebration of life for Evelyn Rader will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. Bill Geray, age 79, of Atlantic, died Monday. Funeral services for Bill Geray will be held Friday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Luann Gipple, age 59, of Atlantic, died Monday in Omaha. A celebration of life for Luann Gipple will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. Patricia Cunningham Dreger, age 93, who's formerly of Greenfield, died May 31st in California. Funeral services for Patricia Cunningham Dreger will be on Friday at 1 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Cheryl Campbell, age 77, of Irwin, died June the 6th in Council Bluffs. Visitation for Cheryl Campbell will be on Saturday from 9 until 11 a.m. at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Eugene Pat Thompson, age 97, of Greenfield, died January 12th. Graveside services for Pat Thompson will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Greenfield Cemetery with full military graveside rites. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has the arrangements. Rennie Watson, age 63, of Atlantic, died Monday at CCMH. A celebration of life service for Rennie Watson will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mark O.B. Wilds, age 63, of Shelby, died Monday. Memorial services for Mark O.B. Wilds will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home has the arrangements. Albert Leon Daggett, Sr., age 69, of Linden, died Saturday. Graveside services for Leon Daggett, Sr. will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at the West Lynn Cemetery in rural Linden. Twig Funeral Home of Panora has arrangements. And Richard Dalby, age 89, of Elkhorn, died Friday. Memorial services for Richard Dalby will be held Saturday at 1 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.